ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 9, Bhishma's passing away, text 44. Sampadyamanam Adnyaya Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale Sarve Babhuvuste तुष्णिम् वयांसीव दिनात्यये सम्पद्यमानमाज्ञाय भीष्मं ब्रह्मणि निष्कले सर्वे बभूवुस्ते तुष्णिम् वयांसीव दिनात्यये सम्पद्यमानमाज्ञाय भीष्मं ब्रह्मणि निष्कले सर्वे बभूवुस्ते तुष्णिम् वयांसीव दिनात्यये सम्पद्यमानमाज्ञाय भीष्मं ब्रह्मणि निष्कले सर्वे बभूवुस्ते तुष्णिम् वयांसीव दिनात्यये माताजी संपद्यमानमानाय भीष्मं ब्रह्मणि निष्कले ಯಾಂ ಶಿವ ದಿನಾತ್ಯಯೇ ಸಂಪದ್ಯಮಾನಮಾದಯ Sampadyamanam, having merged into Adnyaya, after knowing this, Bhishmam, about Shri Bhishma Deva, Brahmani, into the Supreme Absolute, Nishkale, unlimited, Sarve, all present, Babu Te, all of them became Tushnim, silent. Vayam Si Iva, like the birds. Dina Atyaye, at the end of the day. Translation and purport by Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation. Knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To enter into or to become merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute means to enter the original home of the living being. The living beings are all component parts and parcels of the Absolute Personality of Godhead. And therefore they are eternally related with Him as the servitor and the served. The Lord is served by all His parts and parcels, as the complete machine is served by its parts and parcels. Any part of the machine removed from the whole is no longer important. Similarly, any part and parcel of the Absolute detached from the service of the Lord is useless. The living beings who are in the material world are all disintegrated parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole. And they are no longer as important as the original parts and parcels. There are, however, more integrated living beings who are eternally liberated. The material energy of the Lord, called Durga Shakti, or the superintendent of the prison house, takes charge of the disintegrated parts and parcels, and thus they undergo a conditioned life under the laws of material nature. When the living being becomes conscious of this fact, he tries to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus the spiritual urge of the living being begins. This spiritual urge is called Brahma Jidnyasa, or inquiry about Brahman. Principally, this Brahma Jidnyasa is successful by knowledge, renunciation and devotional service of the Lord. Jnana, or knowledge, means to know everything of Brahman, the Supreme. Renunciation means detachment of material affection. And devotional service is the revival by practice of the original position of the living being. The successful living beings who are eligible to enter into the realm of the Absolute are called the Jnanis, the Yogis and the Bhaktas. The Jnanis and Yogis enter into the impersonal rays of the Supreme, but the Bhaktas enter into the spiritual planets known as the Vaikunthas. In these spiritual planets, the Supreme Lord, as Narayan, predominates, and the healthy, unconditioned living beings live there by rendering loving service to the Lord in the capacity of servant, friend, parents, and fiancé. There, the unconditioned living beings enjoy life in full freedom with the Lord. Whereas the impersonalist jnanis and yogis enter into the impersonal glowing effulgence of the Vaikuntha planets. The Vaikuntha planets are all self-illuminating like the sun. And the rays of the Vaikuntha planets are called the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is spread unlimitedly, and the material world is but a covered portion of an insignificant part of the same Brahma Jyoti. This covering is temporary, and therefore it is a sort of illusion. Bhishma Dev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord in his eternal form of Partha Sarathi predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Partha Sarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhishma Dev while he was passing to the transcendental world. This is the highest perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Adnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's a very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Towards the end of this passing away of Bhishma Dev, we have been reading quite a few number of days how Bhishma Dev has been glorifying Krishna, even at the time of, you know, when he is on his deathbed. And here, you know, he has left his body by his own desire. And the translation, it says that knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, because of this word, sampadya manam. So as soon as this word has been used by Shukdev Goswami, Prabhupada, the first line in the purport, Prabhupada makes this very clear that this merging is not impersonal merging. It's not the merging into the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is making this point very clear that even though this word may be misleading, but this one, especially Bhishma Dev is pure devotee of Krishna, so he has gone to the Vaikuntha planets. Now, the spiritual world and material world, two different, you know, completely different realities. There is one border, the river called Viraja. One side is the spiritual world, which is like the home of all the living entities, and where all the living entities live very happily. It is described, the spiritual world, it is filled with nectar. There is no water, there is nectar everywhere. Nobody, you know, walks in the spiritual world. Everyone dances. Because one is so happy there, naturally, nobody, you know, wants to walk. One step is like one step of dance. And no one talks. The words that come out, they come in the form of melody. Naturally, you know, even in our own home, or if you have roommates, you see, sometimes if somebody is too happy, he is naturally singing. And, you know, if you hear someone singing for a long time, you tend to ask that person, you know, you seem to be happy, what's happening? Are you in, you know, what's exactly happening with you? You're in good mood. In the spiritual world, everyone is naturally in good mood. Everyone is constantly remembering Krishna. And everyone is a devotee, because of which constantly there is service. Any person you talk to, you're serving that person. Any person you hear from, you're serving that person. And through him, you're serving Krishna. And there is ample amount of direct service to Krishna. So that's why everyone is so happy there. But when the same living entity decides to be envious of God, that time, you know, that living entity is given in the hands of the material energy. Prabhupada mentions Durga, or also called as Mahamaya, that is the external energy whose main job is to make somehow this living entity, train the living entity back to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everyone is engaged in serving the Supreme Eternal Father, Krishna. Krishna is constantly in that mood that even though he is, you know, the object of everyone's service, he likes to act as if he is a servant. Like in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Gopala Sonu Pitaram Jagat Guru. Even though Krishna is the father of everyone, and he is even the father of Jagat Guru, Lord Brahma, but still, he likes to act just like son of a cowherd man in Vrindavan. Gopala Sonum. He likes that. That's why he just appears as if a simple cowherd boy, and he just likes to, you know, go out tending the cows, and he likes to play with his friends. His friends, they have all sort of, you know, playful activities with Krishna. He has his mother and father and so many cows. You know, the spiritual world has been described so beautifully. But, you know, the living entity foolishly desires to come out of such a beautiful place. In the spiritual world, you know, there is the Supreme Eternal Mother, that is Srimati Radharani. She has been described that Vatsalyadi Guna Ujvalam Bhagavati Vande Jagan Mataram. Srimati Radharani has been described as she is the origin of Vatsalya Bhav. She has the natural parental affection for everyone. She thinks that every other person, he is or she is much, much better servant of Krishna than I am. So whenever somebody prays, Hey Radhe, Hey Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite, please somehow engage me in the service of Krishna, she, you know, drops everything and she wants to fulfill that desire because that person is praying for the service of Krishna. So that's why Radharani provides all the facilities to the sincere person who wants to, you know, very honestly serve Krishna or honestly want to serve Guru, who is the representative of Krishna. So that's why Srimati Radharani, she is the one, the origin of all the qualities. 64 types of qualities come from Srimati Radharani. Like, you know, singing, dancing, cooking, all the types of various services that we all, you know, want to provide to Krishna, she is the origin of all those different arts. So we can pray to Radharani for, you know, that type of empowerment, because she is the origin of that. And she is perfect in all the qualities. Like, she is the best cook. Like, she also got benediction from Durvasa Muni. It is so difficult to please Durvasa Muni. And there are so many, you know, beautiful pastimes, how he gets angry so fast. And he likes to curse. It's so difficult to please Durvasa Muni. So difficult that one time Durvasa Muni came to Dwarka, and Rukmini Devi and Krishna, they also couldn't satisfy him completely. Like, there is pastime. And in the Dwarka, even today if you go there is a temple of Rukmini Devi and Krishna. They are, you know, standing separately. That is the pastime of Durvasa Muni. But that Durvasa Muni was completely pleased and satisfied by the service of Radharani. And that time he gave her the benediction that you will be the best cook. And she is the best in terms of singing also. Like, she is such a beautiful singer that Krishna wants to always listen to Srimati Radharani. In one of the literatures of Rupa Goswami, you know, it's called Vidagdha Madhava. That time he mentions that one time Krishna wanted to hear Srimati Radharani, you know, sing more and more. So that time he came with a string instrument or harmonium, and he said that I want to learn from you. And then she started teaching. She is very innocent. So she started teaching that you listen carefully and then you repeat after me, Krishna, okay? And then Srimati Radharani started singing, you know, the sargam. The first lesson is sa re ga ma pa. The basic, let's start with the basic. So she started sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa. And then she said, Krishna, now it's your turn. Now you repeat. Krishna started sa re ga ma pa da. Then Radharani said, Krishna, what's wrong with you? You are usually the expert. You just listen once and that becomes your quality. You don't need to listen twice. Why are you making this mistake? Okay, listen carefully. Then she repeated again. And then Krishna again started to make mistake. Then she innocently repeated again. Listen carefully. And then Krishna started to again play these tricks. And then Rupa Goswami mentions that Krishna was playing this trick because he wanted to just listen from Srimati Radharani. Because she is so beautiful in terms of singing and all types of services that are performed for Krishna, she is the perfect. She is the best. And that's why he just wanted to listen. But sometime Krishna, you know, tests the limits of Srimati Radharani. And that time she got upset and she went. So that's a long pastime. So spiritual world is filled with beautiful pastimes. Krishna's friends, they think that tumi ki bada loke tumi ami shama. That Krishna, you are not God or anybody. You and me, we are equal. So, you know, come, let's have a wrestling match. Or sometimes Balaram and Krishna, they all go and steal butter. And they have so many beautiful pastimes. Constantly they are making fun. And that time, there is no family to be maintained. There is no job that they have to go. Only merrymaking. Only having fun. So Krishna's pastimes are the most wonderful. That Shukadeva Goswami mentions that these pastimes are so beautiful that just by oral reception, just by hearing them, one can become completely purified. Yat shrutva tat paro bhavet. And he mentions that actual reason Krishna comes to this world is so that he can perform these beautiful pastimes. It's like he wants to show a trailer to everybody that this is what you're missing out. This is just a trailer for all of you. And if you come back to our home, then you will be the part of these pastimes. So that's why Krishna comes. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manushim tanumashritam bhajatam tadrushi krida yat shrutva tat parobhavet. That's why Krishna and Balram came and they just played in Brajabhumi. That's one of the reasons Shukdev Goswami mentions. Now such is the beautiful place that is the spiritual world, but because of the tendency to be independent of God, to try to be God ourselves, because of that one foolish mistake, a living entity comes to the spiritual, from the spiritual world to the material world. And then it is said there is constant torture for the living entity. Actually, the living entity creates karma because of being in the association of all the people who have rejected God. So because everyone has rejected God, the association is very bad. And you become what you associate with. That's how everyone becomes polluted in the material world. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays that Asura sakal paibosh charan amiki doshe doshi. He mentions that because in the material world, everyone is like a demon because they are not servant of Krishna. Because of that, everyone has polluted consciousness, and that's why we also get polluted, and the living entity constantly suffers. The reason is mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Janasya mohat, janasya krishnat, vimukhasya daivat, adharma shilasya sudukhitasya. That's the reason given, that the mass of population, these masses and masses of people, they're constantly suffering because janasya krishnat vimukhasya, they have turned themselves away from Krishna. They don't want to listen about God. They want to solve their problems by their own old, foolish ways, which never have worked. But they want to keep trying. That's why janasya krishnat vimukhasya daivat. That's why such living entities who have turned their backs on God, they are given to material energy. And then material energy, what happens? Adharma shilasya su dukhitasya. They naturally become adharma shil. They become the followers of irreligion. And what follows is immense amount of pain and suffering and misery. So much of pain that, we may not realize. Right now we may think that we are sitting in nice room, it's beautiful out here. And I don't think there is any misery. Many people would say that I have enough bank balance, I have a decent wife, and I have good friends, and everything is okay. But you have to think that this is just a one fraction of one time frame of the eternity. Right now we may think that everything is okay, but it's going to be only for some time. And very soon one has to give up this body. How do we know that? Because of we have seen so many people die. Our forefathers have died. Our parents, if they are alive, if some of the parents are not alive. So we can understand that's how death is inevitable. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Whoever has taken birth in this world, death is certain. That's Krishna's statement from Bhagavad Gita. So death is certain, and it is said a dying man is the best preacher, because we may have heard many Bhagavatam classes, we may have heard from many people about, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but still there is, you know, somewhere in the corner of our heart we think that still everything is fine, I'm okay, you know, everything is going to be fine. But this pastime of Bhishma Dev, or the pastimes of many acharyas, why do they go through these, you know, different types of pastimes where they have to leave their body, is also their preaching. Actual, you know, preaching is when a dying person tells that this world is full of illusion. The real home is the spiritual world. Real father is Krishna. Real mother is Srimati Radharani. And why are you suffering here? You know, jeeva jago, jeeva jago. Gaura Chandra bole. So that's why these pastimes are there, that Bhishma Dev is mentioning how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Bhishma Dev is already a pure devotee. It is mentioned that he is in Veera Rasa. His pastimes to satisfy Krishna is in the Veera Rasa. That means on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna and Krishna, they were on the other side, and Bhishma is fighting. He was fighting so furiously, and that's how he was pleasing Krishna. Because he was seeing that form of Krishna that satisfies him the most. Like Srila Prabhupada mentions, Parth Sarathi. Krishna being the chariot driver of Arjuna, his dearmost friend. And what Bhishma Dev is thinking in his heart, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Bhishma Dev is thinking that look at this beautiful personality of Godhead. Despite being the origin of all that exists, despite being the most powerful, he is humbly taking a simple, humble role of a chariot driver because Arjuna is his devotee. So Bhishma Dev is thinking, I am also a devotee of Krishna. So Krishna will love me also the same way he loves Arjuna. But somehow he has ended on the other party. Like, that's actually a very difficult job. And many acharyas have commented that it's actually very difficult to perform that duty, what Bhishma has performed, to please the Lord by being on the other side. Like the example is given that when Krishna and Balaram, they used to have wrestling game. That time, many of the gopas, the cowherd boys, were very good friends of Krishna, very close, but not very close with Balaram. But they were the best friends of Krishna and they wanted to be in the team of Krishna. But sometimes Krishna would say that you go in the team of Balaram. So that time, you know, they have to fight against Krishna. So just like that, here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it's a very serious game. It's not some wrestling match where, you know, if you miss one or two punches, it's okay. Or if you get hit by two, three punches, it's okay. But it's a actual real battlefield where Bhishma Dev has been asked transcendentally by Krishna that you have to be on the other side. But he did not rebel. He did not say that, Krishna, I am your pure devotee. I am also elder than you. Why are you putting me on the other side? Even though, you know, externally there are many incidents why he is on the other side. That is external. But I am talking about the internal, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Bhishma Dev has performed great service. So great that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Bhishma Dev was showering hundreds of arrows, you know, on Arjuna and Krishna, and so many of the arrows were piercing their bodies, and some of the arrows also pierced Krishna's body, and there was blood coming from Krishna's body, and Krishna was actually getting more happy. That's called Virya Rasa. That's how you satisfy Krishna, by fighting. And Krishna is getting more and more happy, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that the shooting of the arrows of Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is just like a pure devotee throwing beautiful flowers on the body of the deity. That's exactly like that. And then when Krishna became furious, constantly being attacked by Bhishma Dev, when Krishna had this vow taken that I will not lift any weapon, but because of this immense attack from Bhishma, and Krishna became so overwhelmed that maybe my devotee's life is at stake. Maybe Arjuna won't survive this attack of Bhishma. That time Krishna got so overwhelmed that he jumped out of the chariot. And he picked up one chariot wheel and he charged towards Bhishma. And that time, you know, it is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that charging of Krishna towards Bhishma Dev is just like, you know, Krishna running towards a gopi, because Krishna is running towards his devotee. Actually, if Krishna wanted to kill Bhishma on the battlefield, who could have stopped him? And if Krishna really wanted to kill Bhishma on the battlefield on that day, he would have invoked Sudarshan Chakra. Who would want to kill someone with the wheel of a chariot? So these are the questions raised by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he mentions that Bhishma Dev is so great, his devotion is so great, that for him, Krishna decided to break his vow. So there was this transcendental arrangement that one of the persons have to break the vow. And Bhishma took a vow that I will make Krishna break his vow. And he did that. So Krishna's greatness and Bhishma's greatness, that they both are transcendentally trying to drag each other. This is like a tussle of love. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the last purport, in the last paragraph of the purport. In the spiritual realm, the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord in His eternal form of Parthasarathi predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhishma Dev. So, devotees like to bind Krishna with the rope of love. Like Arjuna, you know, his surrender is very much glorified. What Arjuna did is, he gave the rope of the chariot in the hands of Krishna. He said that, okay, Krishna, this is the rope of my chariot. Now you drive it and you take me wherever you want. You make me fight with whoever you want. Because now Arjuna has no control. The control is in the hands of Krishna. That is called surrender. Surrender means you should give the control of the chariot of our life in the hands of Guru and Krishna. That is called the real surrender. And then once he gave the ropes in the hands of Krishna, now Krishna can take the chariot anywhere he wants. If he takes in front of Drona, Arjuna has to fight against his Guru. If he takes in front of Bhishma, Arjuna has to fight. So that is called surrender. Now, those devotees who show such a surrender, also called as Atma Nivedan, complete surrender for Krishna, for such devotees, Krishna also gives the rope of his chariot in their hands. Like, you know, we have Jagannath Rath Yatra. Who gets the rope of the chariot of Jagannath? All the devotees. So it's like a transcendental love and affection of, you know, competition of love that happens between Krishna and his devotees. So the passing away of Bhishma Dev is very much auspicious, because he passed away in the you know, presence of Krishna. And like I was telling, that dying man is the best preacher. One should always remember that death is the final exam. Like, life is preparation and death is the final exam. If one is completely surrendered to Guru and Krishna, then definitely at the time of death, Krishna will lift that person. Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu saunsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha mayave shita chetasam. So Krishna gives this promise that whoever has engaged his entire life in my service, for that person I am the swift deliverer. Tesham aham samuddharta bhavami na chirat. I won't take too long, Krishna says. Don't worry, just hang in tight. I will come very fast. Na chirat. And Prabhupada translates this verse as swift deliverer. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Krishna doesn't send someone that, Jai Vijay, you go and take care, there is some devotee in trouble. Or Krishna won't send Garuda, you go and take care of that person somewhere. Krishna says, I am the swift deliverer. Krishna jumps, like he cannot control, he doesn't want to wait for someone. He himself takes charge of such devotees who are dedicated and who are constantly serving. And they are constantly serving his representatives, like the spiritual master. So for the devotee, the death is not a very big deal. Like you can see in the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami decided to give the knowledge of dissolution to Parikshit Maharaj at the end. Like if you see, 12th canto is full of the knowledge of dissolution. He is telling how everything is annihilated, how whatever you are seeing, these all planets are going to be dissolved. Not just this planet, the planets of demigods, of the Charanas, Urugas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, even Lord Brahma has to leave this world, leave the body. Why are you so much concerned about your own body? It is anyways going to go away. And it's very important to know that why Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning the dissolution at the end. The end, the death is so close, but he is giving the knowledge of dissolution. It's very important to know that Krishna will definitely take care of the devotees. And we see that after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, he has only one prayer. He says, he doesn't say that, okay, now I'm going anyways to back to Godhead. You know, all of you, I feel so sorry that, many of the people there, they were impersonalists, they were from all different backgrounds. Parikshit Maharaj, at the last, what is his prayer? Such a beautiful prayer of the person who has seen Krishna in the womb of his mother. So he was so elevated that Parikshit Maharaj was famous as Vishnu Rat, who was protected by Lord Krishna himself in the womb of the mother. Now such a person at the time, when the death is at the door, he prays only one thing. Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante rati prasangat tad ashrayeshu mahatsuyam yam upayami srishtim maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhyaha. So he mentions that, oh my dear Brahmanas, my Guru Maharaj Shukadeva Goswami, now is the time, Bhagavatam class is over. Now once the Bhagavatam class is over, he knows who is going to come next. And after this speaker, new speaker is not going to come. Takshak is coming to bite him and kill him. But that time his prayer is that, now if at all I have to take another birth, if at all it is desire of Krishna that I have to take another birth, then please grant me three things. That's what he says. Punasya bhuyat bhagavatyanante. Please give me the devotion for Lord Krishna. That is the first thing. In my next birth, give me devotion to Bhagavan Krishna. Second is Rati Prasangata the Ashrayeshu. Give me the association of those devotees who have developed love, Rati, for Krishna. And third thing is Maitrastu Sarvatra Namo Dvijabhya. Give me friendly disposition towards all the living entities. That's the third thing. Let me be friendly with all the living entities. Let me get the association of all of your pure devotees, O Lord Krishna. And third, let me have devotional service in the next life. So that's the only prayer he has, and that's the best devotee who doesn't have any other desire but these three small requests to Krishna and Guru. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.